Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Carson Anderson Program. Gator and Kang with you today. Taking the calls and texts at 248-539-9797. We're asking a question about the Tigers and which player do you think is the one that really is the key in the second half of the season? And also, which team in the American League do you think will present the biggest challenge to the Tigers? Those are two kind of different things, but want to ask them at the same time. Also, see, we got some response on Twitch from I Love Pink 50s. It says, we do need a bat, LOL. I'm not counting on Zach McKinstry in the playoffs. What are we talking about? And then it's got the laughing, crying emoji. I love that part. What are we talking about? I don't know. I guess Zach McKinstry's actually had a hell of a season thus far. He was a legitimate all-star. Am I counting on him? I'm not really counting on him. I'll kind of agree to an extent, but I also don't expect him to take a giant drop in what his production has been. Do I think that he is going to be this player that has a well above 800 OPS the rest of his career? No, I don't. I think he's a valuable piece on this team because you can plug him anywhere in the field and anywhere in the lineup, frankly, 1 through 9 or any position. And he just gets the job done, and he needs to be there while he continues to get the job done. But no, I don't think he's going to be producing at this high rate for the rest of the season. But I also don't expect him to drop off and be a below-average player. So, you know, am I looking for upgrades? I'll always look for an upgrade. And I will continue to look at Eugenio Suarez and ask myself, how would this make sense for the Tigers? Where can we make this make sense? Because if he's going to play third base, what does that do to Colt Keith? Colt Keith is having one hell of a season right now. The last couple months, he's been ridiculously good. And I don't want to take him out of the lineup. So if I'm not taking Colt Keith out of the lineup, where is he playing? He's playing at third base. Where else would he play? At first base. Okay, well, you're going to have to split time with he and Torque a little bit. But what about DH? Well, okay, DH, but Kerry Carpenter. I mean, there are ways to manipulate it. My question is, can A.J. Hinch manipulated enough where you're still getting the most production you can out of Colt Keith and Zach McKinstry, and then if you're bringing in Suarez and Suarez, and what does that do for the rest of this team? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I don't think it's a simple answer. I mean, I'd love for it to be simple, but I don't think it is. Gator, I think Houston is the Tigers' biggest American League threat besides themselves. Tigers need to get Meadows hitting. So I'm assuming that's who he thinks he is the player that really is the key in the second half of the season. And that was Stoney's pick. And I totally see it with Parker Meadows. This is a guy that they're absolutely counting on being the man, being the center fielder every day. And if he can't hit, that's a big problem. That was his problem when he joined the Tigers last year. He wasn't hitting. He hit like 100 and they sent him down to the minors. He got his stroke back, brought him back, in the second half and had played pretty well for about a week and then got hurt again, spent more time on the IL, then came back and was a 300 hitter for the Tigers the rest of the way. It was a danger on the base paths and was elite in center field as a defender. That's the guy they want back. And maybe he's not that player. Maybe he doesn't have that in him. But I watch him play and I'm thinking, he's got all the talent, man. He's got to get it together and get some better luck because he hits line drives everywhere. But unfortunately for him this year, the line drives he's hitting are right at players and they're able to make the play. Baseball injuries frustrate me. Never a pro, but played 4 years in college, 20 years totally injury-free, but I guess there's no reason to stay in top shape, stretch, etc. when you're making millions, whether hurt or not. That's Doug in Rochester. Doug, it ain't that simple. It's just not that simple. And comparing that you played 4 years in college to professional baseball players. I don't mean to be rude here, but I think it's ridiculous. These guys play 162 games in a season. They're not playing, you know, 40 game seasons here. They're playing way more than that. They're playing in the hottest time of the year, in the middle of the summer. I do think they take it seriously. I do think they stretch, but they're going to get hurt. That's what happens when you play professional sports. Guys get hurt. They get hurt all the time. You think that all these arm injuries are just a result because they're not stretching? I mean, come on, man. Give them a little more credit than that. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Matt is next up in St. Clair Shores. Matt, welcome to 97 on the Ticket.
Hey, Gator. Happy Thursday. Happy Friday. Hey, so I not to be a prisoner of the moment, but I really think the Mariners have our number this year. They have two of Scooble's three losses, and if the playoffs started tomorrow, they would be our first out. So there's so many kind of examples of just one team having your number, and even though that you're having a great season, you just can't shake them. And I kind of feel like that's what we have with the Mariners. I really think we need a bat more than an arm, and I know it's kind of counterintuitive, but when we score less than four runs as a team, we have a very sub 500 record. So our goal should be every night to score four or more runs. And we're like 750 when we score four or more runs. So I think it's more imperative that we get that bat that we can trust. And if we've got to put Suarez at all-time DH, you know, platoon McKinstry with Perez in right field or whatever we're doing, you know, Javi should go out to center and let Parker Meadows go back to Toledo for the last month and really tune it up for September call-ups. But I think we need the bat to make sure that we have the offense going into the playoffs, especially when the pitching gets tighter and better at the end of the season.
Well, thanks for the call, Matt. And I think this, you know, the when I talk about shuffling players around, if you were to add Suarez and have him at third base, what, you got to shuffle everybody else around, it makes it difficult. And I think it does make it difficult. One thing that would make it easier, and I don't like to talk about it, but it's a very real possibility, is that if Parker Meadows isn't hitting and you send him down, then things become, you're still shuffling around, but the shuffling makes more sense. Because if you don't have Parker Meadows in center field, you can put Javi Baez in center field. And that means that opens up another spot for McKinstry to play if he goes to shortstop. That you can platoon McKinstry and Trey Sweeney there. And then you could do a lot of platooning with Suarez at third base with Colt Keith and a rotation with Kerry Carpenter between, you know, DH for those three guys, while also, you know, switching around with Colt Keith and Suarez at third base if you were to do that. The strange thing about Suarez, if I'm not mistaken, his splits, he kills right-handed pitching. but it's left-handed pitching that he struggles with, which you wouldn't expect being a right-handed hitter, nonetheless. But with 2 weeks to go before the trade deadline, I really think that the writing's on the wall for a player like Parker Meadows. He's got to get in gear. He's got to start hitting. You know the guy can field. You know he can run, but you got to hit because that is a big hole in the lineup. As far as Seattle being a contender in the American League, I firmly believe Seattle's a contender. They've got a decent lineup, you know, with the best power hitter in baseball and Cal Raleigh, I suppose, well, one of the best power hitters in baseball. Rodriguez has picked up his game. Marone Zarena, that's another all-star they have. But they also have some good pitching. And Wu and Castillo have been very good for them. Logan Gilbert hasn't pitched as much with some injuries there, but he's pitched very well. Doug's nephew, Logan Evans, has pitched well for them as well. It's a team that's got – they're pretty well-rounded. And again, the other factor you have to put in this with every team, including the Tigers, is what will they add at the trade deadline? Everybody wants bullpen arms. I think it makes more sense with the Tigers than everybody else. The Tigers really seem to need the bullpen arms more than the other teams do. And they're going to come at a premium. Everyone's going to come calling to Cleveland about their two big bullpen arms. Same thing with Minnesota. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Those are teams that absolutely have quality coming out of the pen. And there are other teams that have it too. If you look at the Athletics, they've got some players there. Baltimore has some players. Some of these teams are going to be willing to give up those players, and some of them aren't going to be willing to give up those players. The advantage the Tigers have over all these other teams is the prospect pool that they have. They have some of the best prospects in all of baseball. In fact, Kevin McGonigal was just named the number one prospect in all of baseball by Baseball Prospectus. Not that I think the Tigers are going to part with Kevin McGonigal, but they do have a handful, literally a handful or more, of top 100 prospects in all of baseball. So they could make a big splash in some form or fashion to acquire players. Now, would you do that to acquire a bullpen arm? It depends on the bullpen arm, how good that arm is and how many years you have in control to acquire someone like that. Otherwise, you'd think you can get by with maybe your second tier of prospects, which are still really, really good prospects. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. All right, you guys know which dealer I love. It's Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. Now, why? Well, because they give you real, honest pricing and the best deals around. And I'm talking about no gimmicks, no surprises, just straight-up amazing offers. And here's what they have currently. Unbelievable. 2025 Equinox EV for just $999 down and only $159 a month. Or, if you're more of a truck person, you can get behind the wheel of a 2025 Silverado 2FL for only $999 down and just $229 a month. That's right, folks. $229 a month for a truck. And here's the best part. Sarah Chevrolet is giving employee pricing for everyone on select demo Equinox, Silverado, and Trax models. Yep, you heard that right. Employee pricing for everyone. So whether you're upgrading it to a sleek new electric ride with the Equinox or grabbing that tough Silverado for work or play or looking for a solid SUV, Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield has got you covered. These deals will not last long, so head over to Sarah Chevrolet and see why they are the best. And trust me, you're not going to find a better deal anywhere else. That's the Sarah difference. Together, let's drive.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so talking about the Tigers getting ready for the second half of the season. And going into the All-Star break, nobody's really happy with how they were playing. They lost four in a row, including getting swept by the Seattle Mariners. You get to the All-Star game, and the Tigers' All-Stars didn't fare all that well. But you say yuck, throw it in the garbage, and you get ready for the second half of the season, the last 64 games of the regular season. It starts tomorrow night in Texas. A chance for the Tigers to just start fresh here, which is great because they are literally the best team in baseball. And they have their flaws like every team does. But they have an opportunity to address those flaws in the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline coming literally 2 weeks from today. And I think they're going to be active. I think they're going to add bullpen arms. But the question is that going to be enough? And as we talk through who you think is going to be the biggest contender and the biggest challenger for the Tigers in the American League, and the more I talk this through, I'm concerned that it's going to be another team that steps up and has that screaming need in their lineup that they can add because it makes more sense for them to do it than, say, the Tigers. Like, the Tigers' priority should be the bullpen, but another team's priority might be to add that big bat to the mix, and they can do it, and that might have a bigger impact on their team than what adding to the bullpen would on the Tigers. That doesn't mean the Tigers should ignore adding to their lineup. I think it's tougher for the Tigers to add to their lineup, given that they don't want to shake up what's worked so well so far this year, to the point where this team is ranked number one in the power rankings for whatever that's worth by MLB.com. You're looking at a player that you think would be the key player in the second half of the season. Had a couple of people suggest Parker Meadows. Stoney mentioned Parker Meadows the other day. I think it's a real solid pick. For me, it's a little different. For me, it's Jack Flaherty, because I think the Tigers desperately need to have someone, another starting pitcher emerge. I like what Casey Mize has done. I love what Casey Mize has done. His last start notwithstanding. I think Casey Mize is going to be a pretty good pitcher for this organization as long as he stays healthy. We know what Skubal is. Skubal is one of the best in all of baseball. If Jack Flaherty can get back to his form from last year and be a guy who pitches six innings and gives up two runs, that's going to be massively great for this team. Then you shorten the game. It becomes a bullpen game from that point out. And hopefully the additions they make to this team in the next couple of weeks will pay off, and those six innings will be good enough, and hopefully enough for them to have a lead going into those later innings. But for me, it's Jack Flaherty. Jason Beck, who writes for MLB.com and covers the Tigers, he says the key player for the second half is, in fact, Tigers right-hand pitcher Jack Flaherty. A year ago, Flaherty was a trade piece to get Trey Sweeney and prospect Tyron Lorenzo into the system back when the Tigers were sellers. This time, Flaherty isn't going anywhere, not with a chance at a second straight World Series ring. But the Tigers need to get him out of an inconsistent stretch and back in frontline form to best set up their four-man postseason rotation. That's from Jason Beck. And I agree with that. And that's all part of the reasons why I have Jack Flaherty as my guy, who is the key player in the second half of the season. What do you folks say? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text. Love to hear from you. Chris is in St. Clair Shores. Chris, you're next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to touch on the Tigers potentially needing a bat at the deadline, but real quick on Jack Flaherty, he really hasn't pitched very bad. The unfortunate thing about the hits and home runs he's given up over the course of the year is that they've kind of come in bunches. But if you look at his full body of work, he's pitched relatively well. His whip is low. He's striking out batters. It's just that the timing of the hits in succession have resulted in some runs in a few of his outings.
Yeah, it's 19 home runs he's given up this year is a ton.
A lot.
It's a lot. And that's why his ERA is elevated to 4.65. But yeah, I think his whip is relatively low, but and you're right. It's been the big blast that he's given up. It's having a bad inning, but he's got to find a way to be consistent. He was terrible in June. He had a 6.84 earned run average in June. He gave up in back-to-back starts. He gave up seven earned runs and then eight earned runs against Tampa and went less than five innings in both outings. In fact, less than three innings against Tampa.
Yeah, he got rocked a couple times, and I think he can clean it up. But
Has gotten better. To your point, Chris, I mean, look, in his last four starts, he went six innings, gave up three runs. Five innings, gave up three runs. Six and a third, gave up two. Five innings, gave up two. That's better, and that's getting back to where you want Jack Flaherty to be. So maybe he is on track to be that guy.
Yeah, hopefully. So with the callers talking about we need a bat and, we can't trust this guy or that guy or Zach McKinstry, you can make the argument that Zach McKinstry has been the most consistent and reliable player that we've had on this team. But with that being said, I mean, you talk about the World Series teams that we had in, 2006 or 2012, both of them actually. In both of those series, we won one game out of those World Series. We lost eight. In those eight games that we lost, we scored a combined 14 runs, okay? So you want to talk about who you can trust? Those teams had hell of a hitters. Like, the whole lineup for both of those teams was just stacked with hitters. Did we go into the trade deadline thinking, oh, we can't trust Prince Fielder, or we can't trust Miguel Cabrera, or Maglio Ordonez, or, so many guys? So, I mean, ultimately, it's a different ball game in the postseason. But at the end of the day, when you really examine this roster, the glaring hole is relief pitching. And it's potentially, another starter, So, I mean, you go and get a guy like Eugenio Suarez, what does that cost you? Can we trust Eugenio Suarez in the playoffs and in the World Series if we get there? I mean, you got guys that are producing. The Tigers as a whole, as a team, have an OPS around 800, which is one of the highest in the American League. Batting average is one of the highest in the American League. On-base percentage. All of our offensive stats are among the highest in the league. So, I mean, how can somebody say we need a bat? It just doesn't make sense.
And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think in large part it's because they don't believe in some of these players that will have the second half that they had in the first half. And people like to see offense. We love offense. to be factual here, the Tigers have a team OPS of 749, but that is top 10 in baseball. They have been a much better offensive team this year than they were last year. It's the biggest difference in this team from last year to this year. It's the offense. It's that they are hitting the long ball. I mean, 124 home runs at the All-Star break, that's huge for a team that I think hit like 160 last year, 164 or something like that. They were like a home run a game. Now they're well past that pace. They can play a different style of baseball. If you add another bat to the lineup, like Suarez, does that add more power? Sure. The 29 home runs is huge. Now the 220 batting average isn't, you know, making you, you know, jump for joy, but he is absolutely a feared bat if you're to add him to the lineup. But I'm not sure that that's the, I, in fact, I'm pretty sure that's not the priority. I agree with the caller, and I've said it for over a month now. The priority is adding to the bullpen. My number one and two priorities is the bullpen. My number three priority is probably taking a look at a starter and seeing if you want to upgrade one of the rotation pieces. And then I'll look at adding to the lineup, but it's not as big of a priority as it is for other people. 248-539-9797. Same number to text and have this. After seeing what the Mariners did to the Tigers before the break, Seattle is my biggest threat. I can understand. Seattle is, they have a formidable lineup. They've got a lot of interesting pieces there with a blend of speed and power. They've got really good pitching as well. And what they did to the Tigers, they just poured it on. Late in the game, they poured it on. And that is not what we saw this year against the Tigers. You didn't see teams that would add to their lead in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings like Seattle was able to do. Not a player, but I think it's A.J. Hinch and upper management that needs to be needs to have the second best second half of the season. The Tigers have one of the easiest schedules left, and the trade deadline will be huge. Sam in a car. Okay, I mean, it's a little bit of a cop-out, but I understand it. So what you're saying, and by saying upper management and A.J. Hinch, it's those parts working together to do something at the trade deadline, to improve the bullpen first and foremost, which is something that I feel very strongly that they will do. I also think they're going to keep trying to find ways to make the bullpen better and make pitching overall better from within. Meaning looking at Toledo and finding a couple arms there. They got a couple of bullpen arms that have had really good first halves of the season down there. They got a couple of starters that may deserve to get a look from time to time. And you'll see that because of the way the schedule is and how they're going to want to protect some arms and give guys a day off here and there. You're going to see a spot start from time to time. But maybe that doesn't happen if they address a starting pitcher at the deadline. I don't think that's a huge priority for them. But we'll find out. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Who do you think is the key player for the Tigers in the second half? And who do you see is the biggest challenger for the Tigers in the American League? We'll talk about it next. Plus, we'll introduce some stuff with the Lions coming up as the rookies report into training camp. They came in yesterday, but looks like they may.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Some more ticket text coming in at 248-539-9797. Same number to call into the show if you'd like to have your say as we're talking about the Detroit Tigers and who you think the biggest challenger is going to be from the American League to the Tigers, and also who's the key player in the second half for this Tiger team. Personally, I think as far as the challenger in the American League comes from, I think it's going to come from the Yankees. The Yankees have this ridiculously good lineup, and they still have holes in their lineup. If the Yankees wanted to go out and add a third baseman, they can. And, yeah, it would make them more potent. And sometimes having all that offense can offset the problems you have with the pitching. But the Yankees have some pretty good pitching too. And knowing that the Yankees do what the Yankees do, which is add to their team all the time because money doesn't matter to them. They can spend it as freely as they like. I just think the Yankees will be that team that will be the biggest challenger down the stretch. Yeah, I think Seattle's going to be tough. I think it's going to come down to Seattle, the Yankees, and the Tigers in the American League. And someone's not going to have a seat in the ALCS. We'll see how that works out. 248-539-9797. The Tigers perform better when Kerry Carpenter is on the field. He is a key for the second half. Yeah, and I'm anxious to hear if he is going to be back with the team starting tomorrow night in Texas, as he's had some time off with the hamstring issue. I'm hoping he's ready to go. It seemed like he thought he was getting really close, and that if I had to push it for the Seattle series, maybe he could have played there. But having the extra time off is perfect for him. And he said he's already been swinging, and his swing has not suffered at all. So that's good news. And getting Kerry Carpenter back is a big lift for this offense. Key players, position player would be Wenzel Perez, and the pitcher would be Flaherty. The biggest American League competition are the Astros. I'm not as convinced about the Astros. And I say that knowing that the Astros are playing really good baseball right now. They lead the West. They lead Seattle by 5 games at this point. I'm not buying what they're doing. They've done this for too many years. At some point, it's going to have to stop where they lose players and doesn't matter. You know, they've lost players the last few years to other teams, and yet they still found themselves in the playoffs. And you know, Carlos Correa and George Springer were gone, and it didn't matter. They just still found a way. And then, you know, they lose Kyle Tucker and others this past year, and it doesn't matter. Here they are. I don't know if they can sustain that. I don't suspect they're going to sustain that. I think Seattle will have that opportunity to overtake them, and they will. But Houston should still be a playoff team. It's just my opinion. I have no problem with somebody wants to say it's going to be Houston. Good for you. As far as position player being Wenzel Perez being the key to the Tigers in the second half, I don't know. I mean, Perez is another guy that I like. Wenzel Perez, I like his versatility, but I don't see him as a starting player in Major League Baseball, at least on the Tigers. I think he's great in his role in spot starting when somebody's hurt. If you want to use him as a platoon player, fine. He's a switch hitter, so he can hit in all situations. And I love what he does because I think he hustles, and I think, you know, he showed that throughout 3 guys in a matter of like 2 weeks. When he was in the outfield, there's a lot to like with Wenzel Perez, but I don't know if this is a guy that's going to be deserving of having, you know, 150 games played in a season, and how much is he going to play for the Tigers in the second half? I don't look at him as being is the key guy, but good for you. If you're calling your shot, you're calling your shot. Parker Meadows will be the key to their success in the second half. They'll need his bat like they did last season. Teams to worry about is Houston for the number one seed. That's Roger and Mount Clemens. I already talked about Houston. I'm just not buying Houston. They might be. I could be proven wrong, and I'll eat crow if that has to happen. As far as Parker Meadows is concerned, yeah, he has to have a really good second half of the season. In fact, I think he has a really good 2 weeks here. Not that he's going to be traded, but if he doesn't have a good 2 weeks, the Tigers have to think about what are they going to do. Do they need to send him down and put Javi Baez back in center field? If they do that, what does that do at shortstop? Does that mean you got more Trey Sweeney, or does that mean we'll just put McKinstry there and now we've got room to go out and get Suarez and have him play third base and we'll move Colt Keith all over the place? We'll see. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number, same number to text. You know, Kang, you've heard all of this that we've been talking about in terms of which player in the second half do you think is the guy that's going to be the key for the Tigers? And maybe that's different than the guy who has to step up, but that's how it's worded, is the key player for the Tigers in the second half. And who do you look at among the other teams in the American League is posing the biggest threat to the Tigers?
So the other teams, Well, first of all, just on a personal note, I'd like to see Kerry Carpenter have a great second half. And I know a bat isn't the biggest need, and I don't think a bat is the biggest need. I think someone in the bullpen, maybe Tommy Canley specifically, to help the Tigers as player-wise. But to your question right now about just the second half team, I'm looking at the Yankees, and it's kind of for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, too. They have an unlimited bankroll. You know, they'll do anything and everything they can to get the best player, and they have all the assets and all the just, you know, the bankroll, like I said, that the pocketbook to make it happen. They're already a good team. They're already a stacked team. So I just, as far as threats team-wise, I just look at the top, and it's always the New York Yankees to me, you know?
Yeah, I think the Yankees are a real threat. That lineup is so formidable, and they have the deepest pockets in all of baseball, and they can flex them at any time. So they can take on any kind of salary, and it doesn't matter. If somebody gets hurt and it doesn't work out, they don't care. They'll just go get somebody else. And the trade deadline, I think the Yankees are going to be a big-time player, and they already have that formidable lineup that can even make it more formidable. If they were to add a player like Suarez at third base to that team in that ballpark, because it's a bandbox, I mean, he'll hit another 20 home runs in the last 65 games.
Yeah, not only do they add, they block you from adding, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I know a lot of Tiger fans would like to see the Tigers be the ones that block teams like the Yankees from getting a player like that. But again, it's different because the Tigers' priorities are different. Each team has different priorities. And the Yankees, if their priority is to fill that third base spot that they have, that might have the bigger impact on their team than the Tigers in going and getting, you know, a bullpen arm. If they're unable to land one of the big bullpen arms, they just add, you know, a guy who's good but not great, then the impact is mitigated even more and the gap becomes bigger or narrowed, I guess, is the case is between the Tigers and whoever else is going to be a contender. But we'll see. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Switching gears to football, it's interesting to see what's going on in the National Football League with players and the drafts, the draft picks that have yet to sign, guys that were picked in the second round of the draft. Most of them haven't signed to this point, including Tate Ratledge of the Lions. We haven't heard anything on the Tate Ratledge front. But there might be some movement going on right now, as I noticed that Ian Rappaport reported that the Bears and second-round pick Shamar Turner have agreed to terms on his four-year rookie contract, sources say, as the logjam slowly begins to open up. So if this means that it's going to start to open things up a little bit, more second-round picks are going to sign. The big issue with the second-round picks is that they want those contracts guaranteed. And that the NFL teams will not guarantee those contracts, at least the way that the collective bargaining agreement is set up. They don't have to. And I understand why it would rub players the wrong way. I mean, what the hell? And it only affects very few players that are drafted in the second round that don't get to, you know, fulfill the whole first contract. I don't know why they don't just guarantee it. But we'll see if that dam is starting to break here and allowing more second-round picks to get signed as they get ready for training camp. But, you know, with the Lions and their front, it's about Tate Ratledge. And it's so important to get Tate Ratledge in camp right away from day one because he's projected to be a starting player, whether it's a guard or at center. And if he's going to start at center, which is a position he never started at in Georgia, then he needs all the reps he can get. So we'll keep a close eye on that and see if he's coming in. But there are some big questions going into training camp, which again kind of starts today with the rookies coming in today and then the veterans report on Saturday. So, you know, by next week, we're going to have full-on training camp football to talk about. We have some training camp questions that are out there and also saw some more futures bets regarding running backs and what is expected in Vegas of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. We'll get to that next year on 97.1 The Ticket. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and Kang with you today, taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. A lot of Tiger talk early. Got some more Tiger texts coming in, actually. Here's one from David from Frazier, and it's also kind of echoed by Brian and Pontiac. David says, bring up Justin Henry Molloy. And Brian says, send Parker Meadows down and bring up Justin Henry Molloy. He's killing it in AAA. And Jay Hen is absolutely killing it in AAA. His OPS is well above 900. I don't think he did poorly when he was up with the Tigers. In fact, I thought he was just fine with the Tigers. In a limited role, I thought in a platoon type role, he did a very nice job. He's got pop in the bat, and you know, for someone to be one of the last players on the roster, I don't mind if they bring him up. If you're going to send Parker Meadows down, does that make sense bringing him up? It would, unless it's going to be a spot that's going to be occupied by someone they trade for. That we could see if that happens. Tigers' biggest need to fill is definitely the bullpen. Reminds me of 2013, the Tigers' ALCS, where the Red Sox waited patiently until the sixth and seventh inning and then pounced on the Tigers' relievers. Playoff teams know this deja vu in the making. That's John and Fenton. I think every Tiger fan has a little PTSD when it comes to that Red Sox series. That was such a good Tigers team and just got derailed late in games, unfortunately. But yeah, I echo the sentiment. They got to add bullpen arms. Gator, I think Flaherty is a great pick to be the guy that needs to step up and play better in the second half. My pick is Vierling. Vierling was a guy that played well in the playoffs last year for us and really has done nothing for us this year. I'm hoping that Vierling can turn things around. So I think that would be huge for the Tigers. I'm not sure. You know, Matt Vierling's an interesting player. You know, he was one we were waiting to hear come back to this team, finally came back to this team. And I wonder if we overvalued what his role is with this team because of what he did last year for the Tigers. You know, he was good for the Tigers last year, but did it look like he was better than what he was simply because he was one of the better hitters that the team had last year on a bad hitting team? His OPS for the season last year was 735. He had over 500 at-bats with the team, 16 home runs, but only hit 257. But because he was one of the few guys that actually hit, I think it got amplified of what his value is. I'm not sure how valuable he is to this team. I know the team likes him. I know A.J. Hinch likes him, and he has some versatility with this team. But I don't think he also screams as a player that needs to be out there every day. If you've got a healthy Kerry Carpenter, you know, your outfield is Kerry Carpenter in right, Riley Green in left, and Parker Meadows in center until proven otherwise. And I guess that's maybe where it happens. If Parker Meadows doesn't hit, then, you know, Vierling is another candidate that could be moved into an outfield spot and a regular spot in the outfield. But he's one of these guys I don't count on him a ton. I think he's a nice player to have on your roster. I don't know if he's a huge part of that roster. Another ticket text coming in. Everybody's talking about sending Parker Meadows down. He's way better than Vierling. I would send Vierling down and Sweeney down. McKinstry can fill any hole that they leave. The Tigers talk about not wasting at bats, and yet they keep sending Vierling out there. He looks scared at the plate. I don't think he looks scared at the plate. I think he's just had very limited at bats. You know, this is a guy who didn't have a spring training. And he's had all of 38 at-bats so far at the major league level this year. And albeit he's not hitting, he's hitting .158. But I would give him a little bit more of a runway here before you say, you know, get off. Sorry, you know, we need to get another plane to take off. You got to leave. But my opinion of Matt Vierling isn't that he's a very important piece to this team. I think he's a piece to this team. But you can agree or disagree. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. All right, so getting with the Lions, I think that this is every year presents different intrigue with the Detroit Lions. And for years it was, I just want to see the rookie and see what they can do and can they develop anything? Is this team possible to make the playoffs? Is there anything? You know, for years we had that because they were a bad organization. Things changed dramatically. It's been well documented what's happened, obviously, since Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have taken over. But the last couple of seasons, now the expectations are through the roof. it's no longer make the playoffs. It's okay. Well, start with win the division and get to the NFC championship game. And for some people, they raise it higher. It's just win the Super Bowl or bust. And I can understand why people would have that attitude. I mean, that's a winner's attitude. You want to win, or what else are you playing the game for? You play to win. And last year, the Lions played to win. They were 15-2 in the regular season and unfortunately flamed out in the playoff game at home after getting the number one seed in the playoffs and clinching home field advantage. They lost to the Commanders, and it was a brutal loss. Offensively, Jared Goff turned the ball over way too much. They kind of sputtered offensively at times and allowed the Commanders to get out to a commanding lead. Add to that that the defense was decimated with injuries going into it, and then you lost one of the defensive backs two plays into the game. You know, it was amazing that the attrition just continued on even in the playoff game for the Detroit Lions. So here we are on the eve of training camp, getting ready to start with rookies reporting and veterans coming in this weekend. And what is the biggest storyline for the Lions going into training camp? What's the biggest story that you're looking at? Because I think there are a ton of stories with this team. You know, this is going to be a season where they got a giant chip on their shoulder. Like last year, the chip on their shoulder was they got to the NFC Championship game and lost at San Francisco. And it was that second half with literally a handful of mistakes that all happened in a row that cost this team from getting to the Super Bowl. They turned that into a 15-2 season. I think it's safe to say they played with a chip on their shoulder last year. But all those injuries mounted up and provided me too much. So what's the chip on the shoulder this year? It's to stay healthy. And it's the same goal. You don't look back. You don't want to regress as a team. So this is the same thing. And I imagine it's the same thing for Lions fans. It's get back to that championship game and win that championship game. And do they have enough to do it? Free agent-wise, they really didn't make that big splash in free agency. They basically replaced the defensive back. They lost their all-pro center to retirement. They have a second-round pick who they expect to play a huge role on this team on the offensive line, who hasn't signed yet. And you've got another year where the expectations just continue to be massive for this team. And yet when you look at things like totals from Vegas, it's interesting how things have really dropped. You know, the win total has dropped significantly. You're talking about a 15-win team that in Vegas they see it as maybe a 10 or 11-win team. It might be accurate because the schedule's so tough and because they don't have the same coordinators in place. And that they are going to have a learning curve playing for these coaches. And that they do have some shuffling on the offensive line. I mean, there's legitimate concerns all throughout this team going into training camp. But what is it for you? What's the number one thing you're looking at training camp that concerns you about this team that you want to have your fears alleviated when it comes to the Detroit Lions in the 2025 season? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. It's the same number to text as well. Because I think there's just so much to look at with this team. There are position groups that you can look at that you're like, I'm concerned about this or I'm concerned about that. There's the health issue with massively important players. You know, Aiden Hutchinson's coming back from a broken leg. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, but I know others do, and others are concerned about that. And they're worried, is he going to be able to hit the ground running, you know, from game number one? Is he going to be limited in practice? I mean, those questions are going to be answered here a week from now. Well, no, because they'll have almost a full week of practice under their belts. But it's other guys, too. It's trying to get by without Lee McNeil for, what, half the season? You know, when is Derek Barnes going to come back and help out the linebacking core? How are the defensive backs going to bounce back? What kind of a year are we going to see from Terry and Arnold? Is NX Rakestraw going to see the field? Is DJ Reed going to be better or worse than what we had last year? when Carlton Davis was there. There's a lot of questions. And then, of course, you've got your quarterback. When last we saw Jared Goff play in a Lions uniform, it wasn't pretty. Wasn't pretty at all. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Love to know what you folks think is the biggest storyline heading into training camp and what your eyes and ears are going to be focused on the most as the Lions suit up and get ready for the upcoming season. We'll talk about it with you next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, folks, great news. It's hot, so if your air conditioning is struggling, the folks are out there to fix it. I'm telling you right now, if it's not working at all, it's time to call my friends at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling because they've been keeping homes in Southeast Michigan cool and comfortable for over 20 years. So whether you need a quick repair, a seasonal tune-up, or a brand-new system, their expert team is fast, friendly, and local. Don't wait for a meltdown. Call Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling today or visit birminghamplumbingco.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.